You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Fred Bellio on the line, and he is managing partner and co-founder over at Driven4. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. Nice to be here. Appreciate it.
All right, Fred. So excited about today's topic. So of course, we'll do a deep dive into Driven4 and want to hear all about what you're doing. And also, I mean, big announcement. So I know you've been chosen to be one of the authors in our upcoming Business Leader Series book. So I'm really excited to get into your writing there and give the audience a little bit of a flavor of what you'll be bringing to the table. Now, we're not going to give them everything, Fred, because we want to sell books. And for the audience, don't know. So meaning we're not going to give it all away today. But for the audience that's listening, we will be bringing Fred on for a second interview where we'll do a deep dive into his writing as well later in the year when the book is released. So first off, Fred, I know that was a long intro, but a lot to fit in there. Just welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
All right. So Fred, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Fred, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Fred, what mission matters to you?
Well, for us here and for me personally, I mean, to me, it's to be able to bring experience and expertise to middle and medium-sized businesses, to be able to provide all of our experience that we've had in the past 30 years when it comes to product development, how to do it better, how to rationalize your investments, as well as taking that cross-functionally from your product development innovation staff all the way through manufacturing and into service. And then how do you look at that from a holistic perspective so that you're getting the best output from your organization?
So love it. Big fan of bringing on mission-based individuals and businesses onto the show to have them share, you know, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really how we can all learn and grow together from that knowledge. So again, awesome having you on the show. But just to get us kicked off here, I mean, I know you've been in business a long time, but where did all this entrepreneurial spirit, like where did all that come from?
Well, honestly, it came from my dad. My dad was an entrepreneur. He owned his own construction company. I fell into that after he passed away. And we kind of learned that, you know, it's an interesting world to be a part of the world. But honestly, if you're driving the actual how that world is created and how you can actually move it as you change through things, it's a wonderful part to be able to be saying that at the end of your life, you've given back both to the community, to people that work for you, as well as expertise, and hopefully leave something behind that people can actually understand what you've done and hopefully they get better from it.
So, I mean, we all learn, you know, ups and downs and everything in between of being entrepreneurs and being out there in business. I mean, if you could go back to that Fred that was, let's just say, cutting his teeth in entrepreneurship, what are some of the types of things you tell him?
Well, the first thing you have to understand is change is always constant. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. You got to persevere all the way through that. The one thing that you have to do is be adaptable. If you go in with a fixed image of what it's going to be, I can tell you every time we've started a business and the way we've started and where we're at, things change and you have to adapt. And also, if you listen, that's the one thing that I've always wanted to tell people. Listen to your customer base. They'll tell you what they need. They'll tell you where it's going to be. And you can help them get there as well. So to me, it's a mutual relationship. We were talking earlier about relationships, right? If you're talking about customers and how you grow your customer base, it's all about building that relationship with that customer, understanding how they can help you and you can help them. And then transforming the way they work is a constant measure that happens, right? If you think about it, you can have two types of companies. This is something we've tried to do with Driven4, right? Is always be disrupting yourself. What do you need to do differently to be better versus having somebody disrupt your company and then you're looking and trying to catch up? So we always want to be understanding of where we're at, but always constantly challenging where we should be and what we should do differently to be able to survive. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of Fortune, I'll call it 2000 companies that existed 30 years ago that don't exist.
Yeah.
It's not just the small guy. It's everybody all the way through. That's why when you look at disruption, to me, you have to be comfortable with disruption. And it's not easy for folks, but it's something that we've always strived. And coming from Canada originally, you know, and coming to the United States and kind of changing how and where you work, you may think it's all the same. But I tell you, the two cultures are extremely different between the Canadian culture and the American culture.
Yeah. And I mean, I grew up in Detroit, right on the border there. So Ambassador Bridge, been over that more times than I can imagine, just with family and trips and day trips and everything else. So I've been pretty close, brought up to the Canadian culture. So I get some of the nuances that you mentioned, but I do find your perspective from our previous conversations, even on relationship, pretty unique. And I want to spend a little bit more time there, and I'll give you maybe some of our backstory on that. So with Mission Matters, like with relationships and these one-on-one conversations and these interviews and our style of business, like myself and the other co-founder here, Chirag, like we've never been of this mindset to where we have to like rush to scale and all these other things. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, by the way, just was never our feel. So we always took Mission Matters and this media platform that we built as a, you know, really relationship built thing, not between obviously us and the audience, but also between the people that we interview. So now when you think about it, and people many times ask us like, how'd you do this? And we're like, well, we built a lot of relationships. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I've done, you know, going on 5,000 interviews. So it's work to build relationships. It's not always the revenue didn't always match, you know, especially in the earlier days. The revenue didn't always match the output of the labor or the perceived benefit that maybe some thought we should have, but we always focused on that relationship. And if we just stay really focused on the relationship side of things and just creating a better product, of course, for everyone, for our listeners and everybody that consumes it, like that's a given. Without that, I don't care how good the relationship is. We knew that delayed gratification and some of the things of just understanding that you can't always speed a relationship or trust, and it's not always appropriate to do that, right? Right. So what are your views maybe on just relationship in terms of how they relate in business? Like, how do you take that?
Well, to me, relationships are built commonly on trust. Trust has to be earned. It's not from a position, even when I was internal at the different organizations, right? There's certain individuals that believe that based on your position, you should be able to get certain respect. Yeah. As you see, that's not a long lasting effect on people.
Yeah.
What you have to really concentrate on is really earning the respect. And then it always has to be two ways, right? So we always have to be able to understand the value of the individual that you're working with or the organization you're working with, as well as they need to understand yours. And to me, that's where the basis of the foundation of relationship is. For example, our customers today, we have customers, we've been in business for 5 years now. They've been with us 5 years and we continuously grow, but they just keep coming back. And because we believe is that relationship, the trust, the value that you provide allows you to create that secondary sustainable kind of revenue as well as growth. Because we learn just as much as they do sometimes on some of the things that we're going through as well.
I said it many times and I'll repeat it again. Might have already said in this interview, all our best ideas come from our relationships of people that we've either interviewed or are our clients because they're good. I mean, all the sets of eyes that are on us, like they just come up with better long-term ideas. So I'm in. Keep the ideas coming in if you're watching this and we're listening. Just know that.
Go ahead.
No, you please.
No, the perspectives that come with those ideas is something that you really have to rationalize, right? Mm-hmm. To me, it's, hey, everybody's got a different perspective. Understanding where it came from, understanding the value that comes from is extremely important in first respect, as well as the foundation of understanding.
Yeah. And the fact that somebody cares enough to give you that feedback or that idea, like I never take that for granted. I'm still shocked and very appreciative and grateful that people listen and care, you know, like that's not to be taken for granted.
Right. I agree.
So I want to shift focus here slightly.
Sure.
So driven for? So you've told us a little bit about the company. Like, let's go further. So just directly, tell us more about the company, please.
Yeah. So we founded 5 years ago, just almost to the day, about 5 years and a month. Our whole concept was really, we have a set of folks we've worked with together for some almost 22 years. We all have the same upbringing, I call it, the experience and the expertise. And we also see the value that we want to provide organizations from our experience, good and bad, because sometimes you do have some failures, and you can teach that as well. But we really concentrate on, you know, three aspects from an organization. It's really around, hey, how do you invest in your product offering, be it a service or a product? How do you understand where to invest in? How do you actually evaluate the criteria and those ideas to make sure you pick the right ones? How do you then assess that you've done the right thing in selection as you've gone through the years and you've got your return? Plus, how do you get that now and put that into your organization so you can execute? So all the, I call it holistic view of how do I run an enterprise from start to finish, from innovation through product development, through manufacturing? And we believe, based on our experience and where the industries are going, and it could be different industries at different times come to different points. Yeah. But we believe at the end of the day, it's a connected product strategy or service that's going to be here long term that's going to sustain. And we focus on those aspects. We focus on strategically what you should be thinking about, the internal capabilities that your organization has to have to be successful, then the implementation of those processes that are cross-functional as well as functional, ensuring you've got metrics so that you don't have competing initiatives, or I call it, we've always said in the past, and I agree with it today, tell me how a person is paid and I'll tell you how they act, right? So we have to make sure that those metrics are aligned on how and what they're expected to achieve, and then kind of flow that product. If you think about it, if you're a product organization, the same language that everybody uses is the product, right? We sell the product, we build the product, we service the product. How do I get that information, that cross understanding that there's a consistent message, consistent delivery? And then how do we kind of wrap that into in today's world? Because when I started quite a few years ago, connectivity was not something that was existing, right? You always had paper, you always had those things. Nowadays is how do we connect the information to the actual people and integrate it within the process so that we can drive a throughput at speed and quality that you couldn't achieve before, as well as driving better products. So one of the concepts that we kind of push a lot is to be able to understand your customer. If you ask OEMs today, anybody that produces a product, or when, you know, do you know your customer? Most of them will tell you yes, right? Yeah. But ask them where the relationship starts, because most of them have a dealer network or a retail piece that they're not even part of. And where do they get their first communication to their customers? When somebody complains, right? Now, do you really want to start your conversation relationship with somebody that knows you only by, hey, you gave me something that's not working properly?
No.
Right? And that's what's happening, right? So that whole connectivity thing actually changes that relationship, and companies just aren't ready for it. So we kind of nurture them to the understanding of things that you have to be able to do to be able to execute those things. So we do strategy work, we do implementation work, and then some of our customers, they really don't want to maintain the actual applications and systems. So we actually offer a service called Application Managed Services. So we actually take their service for them and we'll support them. So we do, I call it end-to-end suite as from a product development focus, as well as making sure that you integrate the people side of it as well as the process side. Those are key aspects for us.
So Fred, any particular industries that you work with versus others? I know you mentioned mid-size or middle market businesses in general for size, but any industries like specific?
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting. So when we started, that was our goal, small, mid-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. Now we work with multi-billion dollar companies because guess what? It's irrespective to the industry, it's irrespective to the size. The challenges and the opportunities and the problems are very consistent. So we have people that do aerospace, we do people that do space, we do people that consumer products, industrial products, home automation. I mean, you name it, we kind of do it. Our focus of our customer base is really centered around, I either design something, I build something or I service and manufacture something. Mm. Right. So if you think about it from an industry perspective, it's really cross industry. Mm. And our customer base will tell you that we're all over the place. And it's wonderful for us because we can bring those industry perspectives, different industry perspectives. Because if you think about how evolution happens, typically from a how technology gets implemented in the globe today is typically space, aerospace first, then it kind of works its way down to automotive. Then from automotive, it works its way down to consumer products. And if we can bring a consumer product company, something that we've learned from aerospace or from automotive, it's a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess taking that a step further, like what is the, and I know this is going to be different, by the way, for every company and different size and they have different challenges, but like when does somebody normally come to your doorstep? Like what are the site, but begin, I'll tell you why I asked this question. Because sure. At the end of this, I'm going to obviously give you the opportunity to leave, you know, a website, contact information, say connect on LinkedIn, whatever you want. But, you know, as a business owner myself, I'll pick on myself here. Like you don't always know what, you know, you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Like as the saying goes, like you don't always know when you need something. Like what kind of problems, like how do people normally hit your doorstep?
Yeah. So I'd say we're probably in 5 or 6 different areas. And it's kind of funny that you asked the question. Yeah. Most of our companies come in and say, hey, we're investing money in our product, but I can't get the throughput based on the investment and the timing I expected to get it to market. So that's usually the first one. Second one is typically, hey, I want to manufacture in North America. We send a lot of this stuff to Asia. Now we want to make sure we're bringing it back to North America. How do I get myself ready and capable to compete globally? Because Asian markets have a cost called differentiation or improvement. How do I compete? That's the second one. Third one is, hey, I hear myself kind of saying I break a product today and I know I need to get myself into different avenues, be it different ecosystems, like the home, like the car, like the person. Or I have to do, you know, I have to figure out how I'm changing the game. Because we always like to keep the customer-centric approach in mind. So what do I need to do to make that interaction different? So it all comes from different avenues because we can start somewhere in the organization, be it service, be it manufacturing, be it product development. And then what we try to enhance is the ability that goes from, if you're looking at things from a siloed approach, you're never going to get the benefit of the investment. So we may start in different tracks, but we all end up with that holistic kind of approach on how do I get the benefit throughout the organization so it impacts my customer.
So I know you work, of course, enterprise and with middle market, as I mentioned previously, but that being said, I know there's going to be different responses to this based on the market, but what are some of the things that you find when you finally get into that company, whether it's middle market or enterprise, get into that company, you know, they bring you in on one thing, whatever, it could be any of the number of issues or opportunities that you just mentioned or others. But then as you start looking under the hood, like there's always going to be more. Like what are some of those kind of like blind spots that you just see over and over and over again where you're like, well, that confirmed this, that confirmed that. Like what are some of those common blind spots?
So in today's world, we hear and see a lot of organizations are technology. I find technology, it's going to solve my problem, right? Yeah. So I read it, I saw it, somebody's going to read it. What we find is, a lot of times people say, hey, I bought this software, this solution, and it's just not working. I was sold the bill of goods, and the bill of goods never actually materialized, right? So it could be, for example, in some organizations, we walk in and people say, I bought, you know, a PLM, product lifecycle management system, to manage all my product data, but my product data doesn't exist in there. And typically what we find at the root cause of that is people don't want to change the way they work. So they try and implement a piece of technology to make it match what they do today. And software doesn't work that way. Technology doesn't work that way. What we find is it ends up just causing more grief. And what we truly find once we start going into the covers is people with different parts of the organization buy technology. So their portfolio of technology is typically, if not in the high, you know, 80s, 90s of software they own, it could be in the hundreds. And then they're wondering why their organization doesn't work. Because, you know, what do people in business make decisions around? It's data, right? But if I support data by making it segregated and only certain people have the access to it, I can't solve my problem. Right? So a lot of the challenge just comes in on, hey, we bought this thing, it's not working for us properly. Or it's, hey, I need to be able to integrate holistically my data. You know, we go back to the data management kind of support on how and what you're doing. What are a dictionary of data? You know, may sound silly, but does the data mean the same thing to everybody on how it's actually? And you'll find it's not. Right. And sometimes people take it, they massage and they call it the same, but it's not. Right. And then they're making decisions and they wonder why the decisions don't add up at the end of the day.
And you're saying, as you say this, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yep, we've made that mistake. I probably made that mistake. And wait a minute, I don't want to make that one.
We've made that mistake through my career too. Don't get me wrong.
Haven't made that one yet. And hopefully I don't have to, right? To learn. Like, that's one of the benefits of having experts like you on the show and being able to pick your brain, right? I'm really just getting your best knowledge over here for myself and for our audience as well. So I know when you were going through that, and I was kind of going through in my head some of the mistakes or some of the things that, you know, challenges we've had or I've had. I know others that are listening to this or watching this will be doing the same as well. So obviously you can't, no big problem can be solved immediately and there's no one size fits all, but at least mindset wise or thought process wise or wherever you want to take this particular question, whatever direction you want, like where do people start? Like where do they start kind of going down this path? Just understanding it, that they have maybe some opportunity areas there. Like where do they start?
So I'm going to step back one step even before. It's the mind frame on how to frame the problem. And it's part of the book piece that I've actually put together on the writing side. So when you think about it, people frame problems sometimes in a very, I call it siloed view of how they look at it.
Yeah.
They'll look at it. Hey, I got a technology problem. I got a people problem, or my, I don't know how things are working problem, process problem. We suggest to take a step back and understand first, what is your main goal as a company of what you're trying to deliver? Then assess that against your marketplace competitors to understand, hey, do I have a shot here to be successful? Or am I missing the boat, right? Yeah. Second piece to that is then take a look at, and this is where we see a lot of people don't take the time to do. Biggest asset in an organization comes from two things, your people and your products. And you think about it, if you want to get better at things, who should you ask?
Yeah.
Guess what? You shouldn't ask the guys outside coming for me, because the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go talk to all your people.
Yeah.
So ask your people, right? Because they'll tell you what's going on if you listen, right? So to me, it's frame the problem in three ways. One, is it a product problem? Hey, I got a gap. It's something I say, and that's where I'm losing out on my actual marketplace. Second piece is, hey, is it really, are we that inefficient on how we get things done from start to finish? And then the third piece is really, do I understand how I operate? Because the larger the organization we get, the more we find the challenges between how everything gets connected from the people. And people, they'll tell you, hey, you know what? This whole drain of brain, talent, and all that, it's not a problem. I've got everything documented. Well, guess what? I can almost guarantee you, anybody who's listening, everybody's ever worked in an organization that's of any size, will tell you what's documented is not what actually occurs in a company.
Yeah.
And you got to ask those folks and you got to make them part of that process, because they'll tell you and you can get the best ideas on what you should focus on. Just as a very simplistic kind of approach to understand, where do you start? Right. And then we come in and do the, I call it the due diligence, the deep dives on certain areas. But even if you ask us and say, I don't know where to start, that's where we're going to start.
Ah, it's great. Nuggets of knowledge, Fred. You do not disappoint, and I knew you would. And I'm like, you gave me a lot to think about. I know our audience has a lot to think about as well as they kind of reflect on their own entrepreneurial journeys. Have to say, it's been great having you on the show. But what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for Driven Four? Like what plans do you have going forward?
Yeah, so at Driven Four, I mean, we, like I said, we've concentrated, we've built our portfolio here in the last 5 years. For us, really, it's now about rationalizing where next, right? What area do we want to concentrate? There are so many areas that we want to get into. So for us, we've actually ventured into that whole portfolio world, managing portfolios for companies, making business decisions. That's great for us. I think the next piece will really expand it into that service arena, because at the end of the day, if you want to impact how a customer actually sees you, it's really that interaction after they have a challenge that they have to work with you on the service side. So we're going to challenge ourselves to grow a little bit further on the front end, on the portfolio side, which we've started already. And then we're going to challenge ourselves as well on the backside, on the service side, so that we can strengthen our call it our position in the market.
It's awesome. If somebody's watching this and they want to learn more about Driven Four or to connect with you and your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do, and I'll give you my email address because it's really simple. It's fred@driven-4.com. Reach out. We'll be glad to have the conversation with you. Just kind of give you some tips and bits and see if there's anything we can help you with.
Oh, that's awesome. And for everybody watching this, we'll put all that information in the show notes so that you have it on hand and can connect with Fred and his team. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time listening to the platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts, and having them share, you know, what they do, obviously, and their mission and the, you know, the heart behind it, how they're making a difference in the marketplace, and really what we can all learn and gain from that so that we can all grow and be better as well. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or engaging or fun to you, like, we encourage you, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals just like Fred coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Fred, really great having the show. I can't wait for our next interview. As I mentioned earlier to the audience, we'll be bringing Fred back on for a follow-up to this once the book is live and out there, and we'll do a deep dive into Fred's writing. But for today, we just wanted to introduce him to our audience and get him on the show. So Fred, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Adam. It was a great time, and thanks again for the opportunity.